Come on, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise in here. Let's celebrate the goodness of his name, the goodness of his name. Come on, you can do a little bit better than that, church. Come on, celebrate the goodness of Jesus in this place. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lift those holy hands up before the Lord all over this room. Just lift up those two holy hands. And while you lift those hands, why don't you lift up a sound to the heavenlies as well? Come on, let the Lord hear from you. Let him hear from you. Don't let him hear from your neighbor. Let him hear from you. You've been good to us, Lord. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless your name. I bless you in this place, Lord. You are holy. You are worthy. You are worthy, Lord. Come on, let him hear that today. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you in this house. I bless you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy are you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Bless your name. I bless your name.
Holy is your name. Holy is the name.
They might mock his name over in Paris, France, but in here I bless his name. Come on, I wish I had somebody in here. Come on, let some righteous indignation rise up on the inside of you and bless the name of the Lord in this place. We bless your name. We bless your name. Your name is a light. Your name is a light. You are light. And in you is no darkness.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord in this place. We are not ashamed of the name of Jesus. We are not embarrassed of the name of Jesus. There is no other name given under heaven by which man shall be saved, but at the name of Jesus. Something about the name of Jesus. They'll mock him any all over the world, but in Riverside Church, we bless the name of Jesus. We honor the name of Jesus. We esteem his name highly. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, 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 hallelujah, 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 Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. JoJo, get JoJo, prophesy. Come on, prophesy.
We hear a sound this morning in the hall. And Mama J was saying, do you hear that sound? I say, I hear something. She say, no, you hear the roar. I say, yes, I hear the roar. But when we've been praying this morning, The presence was so strong. It was so strong that we can't even stand in our feet in the room. And now God is saying, that was me. I hear your cries. My presence is with my people. It's my people. That was the one to call my name.
Yes.
I'm just hearing your cry. The Lord then this morning says his breakthrough in the house. But his presence and peace in the house. The Lord is saying, I'm here present for you so you can feel my peace. It's my peace with you in this moment.
Yesterday was amazing. The pastor knows, Sister Tina knows. Alonzo and I went out to evangelize, worship prayer at a park in Delaware with a few other brothers and sisters in Christ, different churches. We were all together, all as one in unity. And the Spirit of the Lord just broke out in that park. And we started to testify about the goodness of God that four people got saved. We planted seeds. People stopped what they were doing just to listen to the goodness of our God. Amen. And then when I also testified, and then when I testified, I looked up, and this is confirmation. I saw a face in the clouds of a lion of Judah, his face, and it looked like it was roaring like a lion. Roaring like a lion. The Lion of Judah. It's time, church. It's time.
We bless your name in this place, my God. You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy. I love when God shows up in a way and just gives us one of those divine interruptions where he just, don't you love it when he just shows up in such a powerful, just a very tangible way where you can sense and feel the presence of the Lord. And that's what's happening in this room right now. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you. If you can make your way back to your seats, I'll do the best that I can to follow the leading of the Spirit of God as we attempt to transition our service today. So grateful for all of you that are here worshiping with us on campus this morning. You guys look absolutely amazing. What a beautiful congregation. What a very worshipful congregation you are. I know, listen, I told you to go back and be seated. Can I just get you to do me one favor? Can I just get you to stand to your feet? I want to do one thing before we all get comfortable. Sometimes we rush into church and we try to greet one another as we come in, and sometimes we come in quickly and we don't get to say hi to people, and sometimes I'm so focused on what I want to accomplish in the service that I have a security detail around me just to help me stay focused, because I can be easily distracted. But what I enjoyed today was just being able to embrace a few folks and welcome them into the house of the Lord. And so would you do me a favor before you get seated, before we get real comfortable, can you find two or three people that you haven't talked to yet this morning and just go over and shake them by the hand, or maybe hug them around the neck and just tell them it's so good to see you. And if you've got to introduce yourself to them, tell them your name, get their name, but just welcome. welcome one another into the house of the Lord this morning. These are your brothers and these are your sisters worshiping with you. Those of you watching by the live stream, thank you so much for taking the opportunity to tune in and be a part of this expression of worship here out of Riverside, Maryland. We're so grateful that you're joining us today on the live stream. We've got a church full of people in here worshiping God together. It is a glorious sound and it is a glorious sight to behold, to see all of God's children gathered together worshiping the Lord in here. What a tremendous, tremendous experience it is to come in and enjoy the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those watching by the stream, welcome, welcome, welcome. Do me a favor. Why don't you find about two or three people that you know's at home? Text them real quick and tell them to give them the link to this at RCC. I don't know where we're at, on Facebook and YouTube. And just give them a link to come and join us here on the live stream. You will be blessed. Find some people you know they're at home today. Tell them to get on the live stream today. They're going to not want to miss what God's going to do in this service. I'm telling you right now, tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and tell them you picked a good Sunday to be here. Tell them. That was the wrong neighbor. Tell your other neighbor, you picked a good Sunday to be here. It's a good Sunday to be here. Well, before we take up the offering or receive the offering today, I've got a couple of quick announcements that I need to make. And I've got a little bit of housekeeping that I need to do as well. And so, focus with me here for just a moment. We've got a Dream Team rally coming up. And it is on August the 9th. That's a Friday night at 7 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. If you are a volunteer in our ministry, if you have the desire to want to volunteer, you're going to want to be at the Dream Team Rally. It's in that rally that I get to do vision casting. I'm going to talk about what the Lord did in this church over the last 6 months. We're going to talk about what we feel like the Lord's going to do in the next 6 months or the remainder of this year. And we're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate God. We're going to celebrate other Dream Teamers in the building. We have games that we're going to play, some team building games. We're giving away prizes as well. Make sure you're here on August the 9th at 7 o'clock at our next Dream Team rally. You're not going to want to miss it. We also have coming up Connect Riverside. That's next Sunday. Connect Riverside. If you've been coming to Riverside Church and you want to learn more about us and how you can join, then you're going to want to be at Connect Riverside August the 4th at 9 a.m. Now, we are going to change up a little bit on the Connect Riverside. We're going to be offering it in the middle of the week in the evening as well. But for now, we're going to be doing it on next Sunday at 9 a.m. You can go to our website at rcclife.com and you can sign up for that. You can learn more about us, what we believe, some of the culture and some of the history of our church. And so if you want to learn more about us, come and be a part of that. If you want to join up with us here, come to Connect Riverside and connect with us. Amen. Well, you know, it's the end of July. We're getting ready to go into the month of August, and I always have the privilege and opportunity to be able to celebrate a Dream Teamer of the Month. We've been doing this now for a little bit, where once a month we recognize one of our Dream Team members. We appreciate and we honor them because of their exceptional work ethic, their volunteerism, their ability to be able to help us have a Sunday morning church service here. People get surprised when I tell them that realistically speaking, it takes about 50 volunteers to make one church service happen here at Riverside Church. And as you look around the room, you can see we're getting a little crowded in here. And so we are really praying about, and I have a feeling it'll be sooner than later, of going to multiple services where we'll have multiple church services here on a Sunday morning. That means our amen. That's a good thing to celebrate. That means our volunteer base will go from 50 to 100. And so we'll need a lot of hands on deck. And so we like to take the time to appreciate and honor our volunteers, and we call them dream teamers because without them we wouldn't be able to make the dream happen. And so today I had the privilege and opportunity to recognize one of our dream team members who fills in no matter where we need them to fill in. I was told today that we needed help in one of the modulars, and they ran back and they helped in the modular. I see her running around with a clipboard. I see her running around with an iPad. I see her greeting people at the door, running and getting this, that, and the other. Just stay super busy every Sunday that she is here. And I'm a little biased because this dream teamer I have known since she was a baby. I mean, just a baby. In fact, I believe I dedicated her as a baby to the Lord, which makes me feel old. And I call her my princess. Would you help me appreciate my princess? She's my princess. I've got one that comes to this church. Nobody else gets that title except for her. The Dream Teamer of the Month, in case you're wondering, is Princess Declan. Would you welcome Princess Declan as she comes? Let's appreciate my princess as she comes. Where is she? Come on, Declan. Come on, baby. Exactly what you wanted, baby, because you're my princess. I know what you want. I know what you need, darling. Now, I dedicated her to the Lord. Joy and Nate, I just want to let you know, I'm not doing her wedding here. She's not getting married. You've got to stay single, and you've got to stay this age forever. Stay single forever. You've got to be my princess. I'm teasing. You know, they grow up so fast. Well, we have, hey, listen, there's a special parking spot out there just for you. So you thank you, Princess Declan. Would you guys one more time show her some love and appreciation? So grateful for her. So good. At this time, let's get ready to worship the Lord with our morning tithes and offerings today. There's not a whole lot for me to, there's not Bible scripture I want to quote at you or anything I'm going to throw your way. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, Rev Dorsey, one of our elders, preached a beautiful message on giving and on tithing. Hopefully you'll remember that and you're equipped and you are prepared to honor the Lord. You know, for me, that's what offering is. That's what worship is. It's about showing honor and appreciation to God. And we do it with our lifted hands, we do it with our lifted voices, we do it with our gifts and our talents, on the stringed instruments, on the drums. We show honor and appreciation to God. But we also do that with our offering. We appreciate and we honor God with our gifts, with what God has blessed us with. And I know the economy has been a struggle, and I know that the price of food and the price of, I heard the other day that a Whopper, if you went to Burger King to buy a Whopper, Rick, it's like $10 for a Whopper. And I'm like, that better be some Kobe beef on that Whopper if I'm paying $10 for it. That better. And so this, I know things are expensive, but here's what I also know. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. God has a way of taking care of us. God has a way when we honor him. He does not esteem us lightly. But as we honor him, the Bible teaches that he will honor you. And so all you need to do is honor him. So we're going to pray over the offering. And if you know what the tithe is, Mike already taught us on this. It's a tenth of your income. Give that. But you could also sow. You can give in an offering. There are some testimonies. I'm hearing some testimonies that are getting ready to come forth of how people are being blessed abundantly. And I'm just waiting to get the email so I get all the details right on those. But I'm telling you, the Lord is into honor, and he will honor you if you will honor him. He will bless you if you will bless him. He will keep you if you remain faithful and obedient to him. So, Father, we come before you with a grateful heart. Thank you for the atmosphere that's in this room right now. What a supercharged environment for us to be able to come and worship with the tithe and the offering today. God, we're so grateful that we have the privilege to be able to give to you. We are so grateful, God, that we have the opportunity to connect and sow into the kingdom of God. We want to advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And so, God, we come before you with a grateful heart, with a generous heart, God. Lord, speak to our hearts as we give into the offering today. What would you have us to give above the tithe and the offering? What would you have us to sow? What would you have us to invest this morning? I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Whatever God tells you, you can do it. You can text to give. There's kiosks in the back. There's a drop box in the back. Ushers already went up and down the aisle. If you have an envelope, come on, I know I said one more time before, but this will be the last time. Would you stand with me all over the room? And if you have an offering you want to give to the Lord, would you come and lay it here on the altar? Those of you watching by the live stream, there should be a link in the chat. You can click on that, go to a secure website, and you can give there as well. Come on, let's everybody do the best that we can. Let's worship God and honor God as we give in the offering today. I bless you, Riverside Church, as you give to the Lord.
You turn morning to day.
Thank you guys so much for your faithfulness and your generosity and for your giving into the kingdom of God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Amen. I'll let you be seated for just a minute. Well, as you can tell by the way the platform is set up, I will not be preaching today, but we do have a special, special treat for you this morning. I promise you, you picked a really good Sunday to come. I promise you that. I will be in the pulpit next Sunday. In fact, I'll be in the pulpit for the next 3 weeks. I'm starting a new sermon series next week called Mysteries of the Master, Decoding the Profound Sayings of Jesus. And we're going to start talking about that next Sunday. Jesus said some pretty harsh things in the Bible. And we will skim over those and gloss over those because we don't want to stop and see how harsh Jesus can be. And we try to give us a soft little bobble-headed Jesus, and he is not that. And so, but we're going to talk about that starting next week. But this week, we have a special treat for you. I am excited about our speaker today. I really am. And as I was getting ready to give a formal introduction, I felt like I needed to honor someone else. I needed to honor George. And so, George, why don't you come and why don't you introduce our guest speaker today? I think it would be right and I think it would be appropriate. Now, I will tell you this. I desperately want to. I know this guest speaker is your daughter, but she's my spiritual daughter. I love her dearly. But I feel like to honor you, sir, I want you to introduce our guest speaker today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I actually want the pastor to stay here with me. So, you know, the biggest thing that I would share with you is this, is the Bible says, you know, to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And, you know, as you live that experience out, anyone who knows me knows that I've been in ministry, and I've often shared this with Pastor Jason. You know, there are decisions that you make about employment and about where you want to live, what part of the country you want to live in, and even where you want to worship. And those are decisions that you cannot take lightly. And I can recall that as we were transitioning out of ministry, out of being full-time pastors, we We gave our kids the opportunity to do something that we've never allowed them to do before. We gave them the opportunity to decide where we would worship next. And we got invited to a friends and family here. One of my son's friends invited him, and we knew several pastors in the area. I was going to connect with a lot of those guys, and when my kids came here, they said, this is where we want to be. They said, this is where we want to be. We want to be at Riverside. And, you know, when you think about decisions like that one, again, it's not something you take lightly. I don't want to take her story from her, but Noriel has, you know, we're all saved, but each of us has an amazing salvation story. And my baby has an amazing salvation story. And one of the things that played a key role in the woman she is today, the woman of God that she's becoming, is Riverside Church. So I would share this with you, is that as you're contemplating where you're going to work and where you're going to live, don't take lightly the decision where you're going to worship. You cannot begin to imagine the impact that it will have on your children. And with that, I introduce you to Noriel Ashley Tolbert. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. He did it. He did it. It was no one else but Him. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I also want to take this time to honor the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. There is no God like the God that we serve. And it's because of Him I'm standing here today in my right mind. It's only by His grace. It's only by His goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I also want to honor my spiritual father, my head. I'm still single, so I still submit to the authority of my father. Yes, I live on my own. I'm a grown woman, I'm 34 years old, but I still seek the counsel of my father. I still need my parents. And I'm grateful that God blessed me with Elder George and Fabray Torbert. You picked up the phone at 3 a.m. when I didn't know what to do. I called my dad, and he loved me in one of the hardest moments of my life, and he was there for me, and I'm so grateful. Just in the stillness of his voice, he didn't judge me. He just said, why don't you come where I am? Why don't you come spend some time with me? And so I took a month off, and I spent some time with my dad. And by His grace, my mind is sound. So thank you. Thank you. I honor you. And to my spiritual father, thank you. Thank you that you trusted what you saw in the spirit realm more than what you saw in the natural. When I was going out of control, you as well just loved me to life. And that's what we need. We need more people to love people to life. We don't need more judgment. We don't need more criticism. It's the love of God
It's the love of Jesus that saves. It's the love of Jesus that heals, that delivers, and that sets free. And by the love of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, I am saved, I am healed, I am set free, I'm delivered, and I'm in, and that will never change. And so, yes, let's celebrate. This is a day of celebration, okay? God has brought me a mighty long way. I will share my story at some point, but that will not be today. So today, I actually wanted to take the time to talk about something that's very personal on my heart, something that I know that is the reason, one of the main reasons I'm here today. It's because he gave me a gift. He gave me the ability to understand the power of worship. And it's one of the reasons why, when my father asked us, why do you want to come back to Riverside? Couldn't really explain it at that time when I was 20 years old, 14 years ago. I was seated not too far where that camera is, and I remember the song playing, I Am a Friend of God. And been in church, raised in church all my life, and tears just began to stream down my face. I had never encountered the presence of God like that before. And I just knew, even though I was not living right at all, I knew that I was a friend of God in that moment. And then shortly after that, another time of worship, and I had just encountered the Lord here at the altar. And I remember seeing Pastor for the first time and encountering him. And he looked into my eyes with the love of Jesus Christ. I had never seen that look of love in my life. And so it was worship that just kept drawing me in, drawing me closer to God and allowing me to seek after him. And so today, the title of my message, it's a long one, but it's Ascending to Higher Heights of Worship from a Position Called Seated. We're going up. Hallelujah, we're going up in the spirit. We're going further, we're going higher. There's so much more than we've encountered in this house, and I believe it. And so the reading for the day is going to be from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, and then turning over to John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, New Living Translation. And your pastor did say that you could sit down, but I'm gonna ask you to stand up one more time. For me, please. We're going to honor the word of the Lord, and we're going to stand. I will read aloud. You don't need to read along. You don't need to read in unison, but I'll go ahead and read it in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 20. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected, Rabbi, they said only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our dear friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but he meant Lazarus had died. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to the fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles away down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Turning over one chapter to chapter 12, reading only three verses, starting with verse 1. 6 days before the Passover celebration, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. Hallelujah. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made of essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance. Hallelujah. At this time, if you could just bow your heads as my pastor does, I'm going to do as well. Pray for me as I pray for you. Dear gracious Lord, we are here gathered together, Lord, in your house, seeking your will, your face, God, so that we may be able to go out into the world, to be able to minister the gospel message that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, that he is seated on the throne at the right hand of the Father, that he did come in the body of a man, that he was raised from the dead, and that by his stripes we are healed, we are saved, we are set free and delivered. Lord God, let that be the message we speak with our lives. Lord, and when it's necessary, let us use words. Lord, may our worship, Lord God, be pleasing in your sight. Teach us, God, how to go further, how to go deeper, how to hunger for more of you, how to want more of you, long for you, God, in everything that we think, say, and do, so that the lives of those who are affected by the fragrance of our lives may be healed, set free, and delivered just as you did for us. You are no respecter of persons. And so all these things I ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Hallelujah. And so when we go back and when we look at the text, starting in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, someone close to her, someone important, someone near, someone dear, her brother was sick. And so they sent a message to Jesus. The two sisters sent a message to him telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. And so many of us, all of us, at some point in our lives, we're going to experience the pain and the hurt of watching our loved ones go through trials, tribulations, temptations, burdens, because we love them. And so that weight of our love, that weight of our care, we're going to feel when we watch them go through it. And many times, we're going to want to alleviate that pain, take that from them, because we don't want them to experience it, because we love them. But we're not going to be able to do anything sometimes. Sometimes the only thing you're going to have is prayer. That's it. That's the very thing that Mary and Martha had. They didn't have anything. They had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they knew that if they called on the Father for their brother on his behalf, they knew, I know Jesus. I know a man who is a healer,
and who is able to heal my brother and get him up out of that bed. That's what they knew from having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So they sent a word. They were united. They were in unison. They grabbed each other's hand and they prayed. And they sent petitions. They sent a word to the Lord. And the Lord responded. Hallelujah. And so I thank God that I had a father and that I had a mother who was able to pray for me when I was not in a place to pray for myself. When I couldn't talk to the Lord, and when I had no idea, when I didn't know what to say, when I wasn't even thinking about God, I had a mother who was on her knees at 3 a.m. in the morning crying out to God, and now I am seated here because of her prayers. Hallelujah. And not just her prayers, my pastor's prayers, my spiritual mother's prayers, my grandmother's prayers. So your prayers are what the people in your life need. They need you to pray. If you can't do anything else for them, pray. Pray. Talk to God. God, I can't do it. Heal them. Save them. Deliver them. Set them free. And that is what we are called to do. Moving on to verse 4. John chapter 11, verse 4. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God. And so when Jesus heard, he spoke. So God heard them. He heard their prayer. He heard their cry on the behalf of their brother. And he spoke a word. He sent a word to the people of God. And many times we need that word that's going to anchor us through the middle. While we watch the people that we love, even in our own lives, God's going to send a word to keep you, because he is not a man that he should lie. What he said is established forever. His promises are yes and amen. Isaiah 55:11 says, it is the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces. It always produces. It always produces fruit. It will accomplish all that I want it to and prosper everywhere I send it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when you're in the middle, while you're watching, while you're waiting, believing, hold on to that word the Lord has given you. Hold on to it, because it's going to get you through. When it doesn't look like the Lord has heard you, when it doesn't look like your prayers are being answered, when it doesn't look like it's going to work out, trust God. Right. Trust God. When you have nothing else, you have his word, and it's his word that keeps you. Hallelujah. Dropping down to verse 5, John chapter 11, verses 5 through 11. Although Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Then he said, our dear friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And so they sent a word to the Lord. He heard their prayer. He heard their cry, and he responded. He will not die. But then he stayed there for 2 more days. And so when we pray, we typically get 3 answers. Yes, no, and wait. That's the one answer. We can deal with, we love yes. We love yes. We can tolerate, we understand no sometimes. It hurts, but we get it. But one of the hardest answers to your prayer is wait. Because there's no timeline. Sometimes it's just wait. Well, how long am I waiting, Lord? Am I waiting 2 weeks? Am I waiting 2 months? 2 years? What are we doing? No, but
It's just that. It's just wait on him. Woo. Somebody needs to hear that. You want to move. You're trying to do a thing in your own intellect. Just wait on God. Just wait on God. Because when you try to move in your timing, you always mess it up. But if you wait on the Lord, he will renew your strength. You will mount up on wings as eagle and you shall soar. So wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord to do a thing in his perfect timing, because you can't lean on your own understanding. There's things that he knows that you don't know. There's people he's trying to move to you. People he's trying to get away from you. Just wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jumping down to John chapter 11, verses 17 through 20. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Reading that verse also in the English Standard Version. John chapter 11, verse 20. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Hallelujah. So when we see Mary in the scripture, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus and his disciples are ministering, and they're looking for a place to stay and to just eat and wash their feet and spend the night and refresh. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 39, and Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister, Mary, sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. Reading further down in John chapter 11, you'll see again in verse 32 through 34. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him. And he said, "Where have you put him?" And they told him, "Lord, come and see." So Jesus is compelled by the humility of Mary at his feet. Because that's where prayer begins. Prayer begins in a place of humility. You have to acknowledge you're finite, God, and you're infinite. I can't do it in my strength. I can't do it in my power. I can't do it in my might. But by your spirit and by the might of God, by the power of God, it is possible. That's where humility begins. You stop trying to figure it out on your own. And you call on the Lord God and you say, "God, help me. I can't do it. I can't figure it out. I need you. I'm trusting in you. I'm believing in you. God, do what only you can do." And so at humility, Jesus moved. Hallelujah. He was moved by her being at his feet. And so at his feet, it not only signifies humility. You're not only communicating to God, "I humble myself before you," but it's also where you learn who he is. It's when I'm seated, I'm able to see clearly who he is. It's where I'm in the position where God has called me to be. That's where I'm able to understand he is good, because I'm not up. I'm not moving around. I'm not frantic. I'm not pacing. I'm not worried. But I'm seated. And I see him clearly. And I know his goodness. That's where I learn that he is love. That's where I learn that he is kind. That's where I learn that he is patient, seated at his feet and a posture of humility. What does that look like practically? It means getting up in the morning and just being still, listening for his voice before you do anything else. What does that look like practically? It means before you make that major decision, I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna wait on the Lord. I'm gonna listen for your voice, God. What are you telling me to do? I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm gonna wait on you, God. I'm gonna sit here. And when you show me the answer, that's when you're gonna reveal to me your character and your nature and who you really are. Because that's all he wants to do. He wants to show you who he is, but we can't do that constantly being busy and overwhelmed by the cares of this life. We have to sit still. Be still and know that I am God. It's in the stillness where we get to know who he is. And when I know who he is, then I can know who I am. Okay? I don't have to accept the labels the world tries to put on me. I'm not a loser. I'm an overcomer. Because his word says I am. Hallelujah. I'm not sick. I'm healed. Because his word says I am by his blood. And I know that by sitting at his feet. That's what Mary did. She sat at his feet and he taught her who he was and who she is. And it's not only humility that we see at his feet. It's not only the understanding of who he is and who we are in Christ and how we can see the finished work, but we also, from a position called seated, we're able to unlock the mysteries of heaven. God has so much in store up in heaven that he wants to get to a person, a vessel, a body who's willing to listen. Who's willing to yield, who's willing to allow him to pour himself out. He's a gentleman. He will not force himself upon anybody. But he's waiting for somebody. I'll take anybody, just anybody who raises their hand, sits down long enough and say, God, here I am. Use me. God, I'm waiting on you. And then as you sit there, there comes the downloads. There comes the mysteries. There comes the prophecies. There comes the unveiling of the word. The things that were hidden in the word of God that you couldn't understand 2 years ago when you sat down and sat still and be quiet. He shows it to you. He reveals you to who he is. And it's not only the mysteries of heaven at his feet, it's the miracles of heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Who needs a miracle? Who knows someone who needs a miracle? Not just a blessing, a absolute bona fide miracle that only God can do. Only the Lord can do. No one else. We need miracles now more than ever. We need the signs and the wonders to be poured out onto the earth. We see the state of America, and somebody got to sit down long enough and be quiet for the Lord to show you what he needs to do through you so that you can go out and lay hands on the people of God and raise them from the dead. Heal the sick. God doesn't want people blind. God doesn't want people deaf. He wants them healed and whole. That's his will for his people, but he's looking for somebody. And it's at his feet. That's where it is. It's at his feet. And Mary showed us that over and over and over again. She moved God in a posture of humility called seated at the feet of God. Hallelujah. She did it. Whew. Jesus. And so I'm actually going to wrap this up. We're running at the end. So all those musicians, those on the band, I would ask that you come back. Hallelujah. And so as we end in John chapter 12, hallelujah. In John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him. Then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance. So what's the appropriate response? When God moves, when God hears you, when you cry out to the Lord, God, I'm struggling. God, I can't do it without you. Lord, my brother is sick. Lord, my boss, he needs to be saved. And he hears you and he answers. What's the appropriate response? Worship. Because he's worthy. When you pour yourself out as a drink offering, it's the fragrance. It's that poured out of a broken spirit, of a contrite heart before the Lord. And he honors God for all that he's done in your life. God's been too good. He's been too good. He's been too good for us to remain quiet, passive. Worship is what he deserves. Worship is what he earns. We earn death, but he earned praise. We earn hell, but he earned mercy. He earned the goodness. So honor the Lord, and when you honor him, he continues to pour out more and more and more and more. So just take this time. Take this time. Stand at your feet. Worship the Lord God with arms lifted. Say, God, we'll be right back.
church. That's a ministry.
Come on.
Jason and Tina.
Come on.
Amen. Give them praise. You can't praise him too lively and you can't worship too long. Is that all right? Yeah. One of the things that she said that was very impactful, it's amazing how the kingdom of God, it's counterintuitive in way. We can never imagine that we can ascend to higher heights by simply learning how to be seated.
Amen.
Yeah, setting aside the hustle and the bustle and learning how to hear from God in the stillness. Yeah, and that's a message for us problem solvers. Amen. It's a message for all of us problem solvers. Learning how to ascend to higher heights and deeper depths. God, I surrender the right to try to figure this out. I surrender the right to try to create a solution. Teaching how to be still and how to truly wait on you. And I would be remiss, you know, if I did not mention to him, you know, Noriel was part of our ministry. But glory to God. You know, I share this at the beginning. You know, I am so grateful. Made a lot of decisions in my life, some good, some bad. But I've shared this with him, and I'll share with you guys. Decided to attend Riverside Church. It's truly one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Woo!
In my entire life.
Amen. Amen.
And it was life-changing. My daughter is a testimony to the souls that are being saved, the lives that are being changed. And as I look over here, see, when I came to Riverside, I didn't just get a pastor, Jason and Tina. I got a mom again.
Amen.
I got a mom again.
Amen.
I got a Cat Dorsey when I came to Riverside. And I needed that love. I needed that love. I got a Joy, and I got a Reason, who gives great gifts. Got a Dwayne. I got a holy family, and I wouldn't trade you guys for anything in the world. I got a Sarah Kern back there. And I got my brother Gary. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. The best decision I've ever made. The Lord bless thee. The Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord grant thee peace. Go in the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, do me a favor. Greet somebody in the name of Jesus before you leave today.